Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of view. Every day we hear politicians, pastors, coworkers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based on the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast. All right, we're back again for another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about this week, Nathan?
We're going to be talking about how we're using our mouth. And if we're speaking poorly of each other.
We never do that. I don't think I've ever spoke poorly of somebody who's around me because, you know, it's just righteousness. You know, we get circles with other Christians and all we do is like hold hands and pray and speak highly of our everybody else, right?
Yep. This is definitely a temptation.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We're maybe the most hypocritical part of Christianity relies on this one thing, and that's speaking poorly of our brethren. It seems to be like almost part of our, like, if you get together with Christians, this is just something that naturally starts to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's we think our righteousness is greater than others, or if it just makes you feel good inside to talk badly about just our brethren, any person, I don't know, who might be failing.
Yeah.
Or we think that it's okay because, you know what, we're just trying to help them, so we need to share with others.
Yeah, you know. That is pretty much how it goes. Yeah.
I mean, and the world's really bad at this, of course, but we kind of expect that out of the world. We shouldn't expect it out of the church.
Yeah, definitely not. And, you know, with Twitter and Facebook and, you know, phones and whatnot, social media, all this gets like amped up.
But if we do it in each other's faces, you know, it's like it's okay, right? I can get in your face and tell you how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I do it to your face and not behind your back.
Say it to my face.
Say it to my face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that rarely happens anyway.
Definitely say it behind people's back.
Yeah.
And you hear about embarrassing moments like in the church where somebody's talking badly about somebody else and that person is right there and it's really awkward.
Oh, hey, Gary.
Hey, we were talking about the other Gary, you know. I didn't even know there was another Gary in the church, but that's who we were talking about.
Yeah. Definitely not you.
No, it wasn't you at all.
You're the best.
I know it was exactly talking about your life and the bad things you've done, but...
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm really sorry.
Yep. Yeah, definitely happens a lot.
Yeah, in the church, it does
for sure. Yeah, controlling our mouths is a very hard thing.
I'm going to be honest. I do this.
Everybody does.
And it's like to the point today. I was having kind of a rough day, and I was complaining about work and my coworkers, and I was just really. And I'm sitting there complaining to my wife. And then she asked me, like, so what's the podcast tonight? And I'm like, speaking poorly about other people. I'm like, I know. That's what I'm doing. I'm speaking poorly about other people. It's like, this is embarrassing. It's like, how am I going to go tell other people, you know, tell others how I'm not supposed to do this? But, you know, it's really a mindset of how we treat others. And it's like you have to start to, like, in a way, be sympathetic in conversations. You have to start thinking like, and it's the word empathy. I know no one wants to talk about empathy. Some people think it's bad. Some people it's good. But in a way, you have to have some empathy to understand what they're going through. We have to show our brothers and sisters just a little bit of grace and understanding for what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you definitely have to, see things from what's going on with them, you know, to help explain, you know, what's going on and stuff like that. Definitely have to have some empathy. Yep. So, well, we're going to jump into, of course, scripture.
Oh, man. We're going to jump into something else.
Because some people might say, well, this is justified.
Yes.
Right? That yeah. this person is bad. And so, therefore, it's okay, you know,
right.
to go out.
And I mean, if they're outside like the church, we could judge their sins, right?
That's right.
I mean, yeah. I think people believe that. Like, it's mm-hmm. okay as long as they're not yeah. part of the church. But then it's almost the question, too, though. We have the right to judge within the church, mm-hmm. which there's truth. If as long as you're addressing
yeah.
sin mm-hmm. to the individual, mm-hmm. but me talking to Sally about yep. Susie
mm-hmm.
behind their back,
yeah,
you know, am I really helping, or am I just
mm-hmm.
am I gossiping, or am yeah. I? It's that they said there's like literally when you talk about somebody else in a negative way, like they said, like endorphins or hormones yeah. shoot into your brain, and it's like a rush. It yep. feels good.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. That's.
That's how you know the Bible's true, right there.
Right, that's right.
Sin nature.
Yeah, the sin nature kicks in, and we yeah. just we love it. Like, it mm-hmm. feels good, and that's why we do it all the time. We get a yeah. rush for doing it.
Yep, absolutely.
Obviously, though, Scripture, once again,
mm-hmm.
shuts that down. Shuts. I mean, is Scripture just telling us to not have fun? I mean, throw yeah, away, pretty it. Much. Really, it is.
Pretty
you know,
much.
Throw away that sin nature, that mm-hmm. flesh that takes over. We need to get rid of it,
yeah.
and it's like rely on the Spirit and be boring, mm-hmm. and you know, don't talk badly about
yeah.
our brothers and sisters.
Yep, and
you know, it's like this change that has to happen in us or something. You know, this renewal. I don't know.
The renewal.
Yeah,
yeah, and I see it happening a lot of times in political conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Right. If I'm a Christian, I'm on this one side of politics. Yeah. If I'm a Christian on the other side, it's like, well, that person's bad.
Yeah.
Because they're of the other political
That's right.
view.
They believe in things. You can't be Christian and believe yeah. in those things.
Yeah. Whereas if they, you know, agreed with me politically, yeah. I could share some more sympathy or empathy towards them.
Right.
But once you're on the other side, it's like, no.
Cut off.
Yep.
You're done. You're
yeah,
not part of
no
this
rules.
Group anymore.
No rules anymore.
You're off the island.
All right. So we're going to jump into Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 21 here, but assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbors, or with his neighbor, for we are members one of another.
So you remember, Nathan, when you were like came to know the Lord, when mm-hmm. someone's like, Nathan, mm-hmm. you need to put off the old self.
Yep.
You need to be renewed in the spirit and become your new self. I mean, yep. that was like first prayer, right?
Negative.
Never.
Nope.
Mm-mm. It's like a foreign idea to even mm-hmm. bring this up, because yeah. when were we told, like, your old has to go away?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because really, the reason why I think we still, like, get in circles and talk about others in bad ways is because our old nature is just living right with us.
Yep.
We've never got mm-hmm. rid of it. It's just,
yeah.
and we like that old nature.
Yeah.
It feels good to fall into that mm-hmm. and to...
Yep.
to live in that nature of those, mm-hmm. you know, because that's what I did my whole life before I knew Jesus. This mm-hmm. is like just common, like that's what everybody does. You talk badly about people, you lie,
mm-hmm.
you know, you look for any pleasure you can get mm-hmm. in life.
Yeah.
So of course you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Now it's saying to get rid of this old nature and to be renewed into this like spirit. I mean, it's kind of a weird saying, renewed in the spirit of your minds.
Yeah.
But then you're becoming a new self who's like God.
Yeah, I like how it starts with assuming that you have heard about him.
Assuming.
Yep, you gotta assume that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder if anybody raised their hand. I've heard that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody said yeah. that. Like, they're probably yeah. like, I've never heard this
yeah.
before. You know?
Assuming that you guys heard this and you were taught actually about Jesus and the truth.
Yeah.
Assuming those things. All right, okay, put off the old self. It's like, well, yep, you'd have to assume those things
yeah.
because that's not necessarily true.
No, you know? This isn't part of like any salvation message.
No.
And maybe you can say, well, it's part of the sanctification process to put off the old self, become mm-hmm. new. Well, maybe we should talk about this one early on because it's kind of an important step to becoming this new self we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's why nobody really struggles with this because it's like, well, no, I'm my old self with Jesus.
Yeah.
It's almost it's almost like told, like, it's okay to be yourself. Yeah. Just be who you were, but now you have Jesus.
Yeah,
now you got the golden ticket and you're going to heaven.
Accept me as I am, you know.
That's
accept
right.
Accept me for me.
Yeah.
This is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fine. God accepts you as that. It's like, well, you're supposed to change.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what's supposed to happen. Yeah, definitely.
But it's, definitely, you know, this verse isn't really saying anything about what we say. It's more about, you know, just changing the old and the new. So I think we're good.
Well,
aren't we?
No. Negative.
Oh, okay.
So we're supposed to be, you know, not being these false people, right?
Yeah.
The stuff that was of the old life with its, you know, deceitful desires, it was corrupt, you know, it wasn't being of the truth. And now you're created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness, right? This is what comes with that new self. And so then it talks about each one of you speak the truth, you know, with one another. You know, is that what we're speaking to one another? Are we people who are speaking in the likeness of God? Are we people who are speaking righteousness? Are we people who are speaking holiness? Are we doing those things with our mouth like we're supposed to be these, you know, renewed people? Are we just speaking the same way as the old?
Yeah, I don't think it happens enough. Like, where we literally are speaking truth into each other's lives.
No.
We had a moment this weekend where we got together as a small group of men, had our little men's retreat, and we literally are sitting on the couch just all just kind of speaking truth at each other, reading scripture, people are quoting scripture, there's times we're correcting each other. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was not, you didn't really sense any, like, anybody being upset with each other, or there wasn't nothing, like, politically motivated. It was just like a group of people getting together and speaking truth into each other's lives.
Yeah.
It was really neat.
Yeah,
and I can't say that happens very much.
No, doesn't happen very much, but yeah, it is amazing when it happens. Going down a little bit further, verse 29 there of Ephesians, it goes on to say, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." So we're this definitely doesn't happen.
I probably have said corrupt things on this podcast that I probably shouldn't have said. That's so, I mean, these just get harder. Like, these are actually really hard things.
Oh, yeah. Those
because
are super
hard. This is so ingrained in us. And you think of, like, the American. Americans are rude.
Oh, man.
They're vile.
Yeah.
We always have to speak with our mind.
Yeah.
We have our own holy grail about ourselves online, you know, on Facebook and stuff. Mm-hmm. And every time you hear an opinion, we have to speak out.
Yeah.
And write what we think is correct. Mm-hmm. And then we argue with people.
Yeah.
Like, we think, like, we have to always, I mean, we constantly are pouring just, I don't know, it's like hot garbage out of our mouths.
Oh, yeah.
And we just don't stop.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This stuff
and is, you could argue, well, that's not corrupt, what I'm saying. Oh, maybe not. Maybe not everything you're saying is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
But I can guarantee you there's been things coming out of your mouth in the last few days that probably aren't the best things to say.
Yeah, and it says, but only speak things that are good for building up.
Yeah,
you know, again, is that what we're speaking? Are we speaking it with the motive that I'm going to help build this person up?
Yeah. No, I think most of the time it's not. It's to say how smart I am.
Yeah.
Or to say my truth's better than your truth.
Yeah.
It's not to build up at all.
Yep. And so that's definitely something, you know, that needs to be worked on.
Yeah.
In the, among
the word only is to emphasize the word only is good to building each other up.
Yeah. Yeah. Ephesians 5, verse 4. goes on to talk
about worst verse in the Bible for me. I'm serious. Like, this is the verse that is so hard, because if you knew me and my friends, this is like how we talk to each other.
It says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Dude, so this is just how people talk, man. This is just how people talk. Sarcasm rocks. Yeah.
No, this is really hard. When I think about, me and my buddies, it's just constant making fun of each other, crude joking.
This is what we do.
Yeah. And sometimes it's filthy. It's like, and in a way, it's kind of like we get to go back to our childhood and pretend to be kids again and teenagers being stupid together.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know.
The good old days.
This verse is pretty clear. Like, we shouldn't be constantly doing these kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, again, going back to...
Like, it's literally a verse that you wish just didn't exist if you're that way. Because it's like, oh...
These are the things I love.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, I get where the verse... Why this is important is... And it goes... The end of these verses are what really matter. And really what we need to focus on. Mm-hmm. It says, let there be thanksgiving.
Yeah.
How much time do we spend in thanksgiving for each other or for each other's lives? Mm-hmm. Do we celebrate each other? Do we actually build each other up? Do we speak highly of each other? You know, we have to... Do we do these things, or are we still just too selfishly into our own worlds and our own thoughts and... Are we missing the end of this verse? Like, I could be down on the beginning of this and focus on not being filthy or foolish talk or crude joking. But maybe I should focus on the end of speaking in thanksgiving, or focus on the last verse of speaking, building each other up.
Yep. Yeah. You know, going back to what we were hitting on before, you know, have we been renewed, right? Are we taking on this new mindset, this new likeness of God? Or are we, you know, continuing to walk in the old self, right? The old way. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different people. Going next to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12, says, "And we labor working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure."
So what does revile mean? Okay. I had to look it up because I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
What do you think it means?
So reviled means to, like, speak like meanly against somebody, or just to be, I guess, sort of rough. You know, in your language towards somebody else.
Yeah, like I saw it as like being abusively or angry. It said mean to reproach angrily or abusively.
Yep.
So literally just being vile to somebody, mean to somebody.
Yep, definitely.
This one's so interesting because this isn't talking about us. It's talking about how others treat us.
Yep.
And our response to that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like... When we speak poorly of others, you know, like when we're mad at somebody because they said something mean to us, and then we think it's justified to complain about it to our spouses.
Yeah, they attack.
This is saying that's not okay. Yeah. You know, what it's saying is we bless when we're reviled.
Yeah.
So when we're persecuted, we endure.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally are blessing others when we're reviled. That's so... That's the opposite of what we're taught in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it says in Luke, you know, when you're cursed that you're going to bless them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this idea that they might do the evil language, right? It might come from the world. It might come from another person. But you, as a follower of Christ, are going to respond with what is good, you know, in the face of what is evil.
And we should expect this from our others. Like, we should know this is going to happen. And we should know it's even going to happen within the church because, like we said earlier, not everybody's renewed. Not everybody's stepped into this new life. It's obvious. Not everybody has.
Yeah, definitely.
So we need to be the ones to first step into that. Mm-hmm. And so when people speak poorly of us, we can't pay it back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the eye for an eye anymore. Mm-hmm. We know that. That's gone.
Yeah.
We need to pay back with, you know, if somebody speaks poorly against us, we need to accept it.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to, like, we need to be able to respond to that in a positive way or respond back in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to show people the kingdom, what it's like.
Yep.
Now, the next two verses are pretty tough on speaking bad. So going on to chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, verse 11, it says, "But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother," so somebody who's a fellow Christian, "if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one." So, in the list of, you know, negative attributes, somebody who is a reviler, which we were talking about, you know, is, you know, terrible speech, attacking somebody and stuff like that. So, if this is what you do with your speech, if this is what somebody's doing, this person, by, you know, it's being said here, is to not associate with that person. You know, not even to eat with such a one. So not to have fellowship with this person. That's pretty tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we would love to just ignore this and forget about this, because
it's just like, what?
Yeah.
You know, oh, so why did he, you know.
Yeah, he sinned in the past.
Yeah. The language is bad, you know, it's not a big deal, but, you know, Paul's telling the church in Corinth, hey, you know, you guys are not to associate with anyone who's doing this. You know, so it must be pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 is given the whole list of, you know, actions that if someone's doing. So it goes on, "Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers." So once again, revilers is in the list here. "Nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So the people who practice these things are not of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And, you know, do we take it that serious? Do we take this language so serious that it's like you could be cut off from the church for doing this? Right, for living this way, and you're cut off from the kingdom of God. Like, people who live this way will not inherit the kingdom of God.
And look at these words: we have sexual morality, which everybody would agree. Yeah, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
We have greed. We have idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
We have drunkenness.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, a swindler. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a thief. Those ones we'd easily recognize as like, oh yeah, you know, those things bad. Those are bad. Mm-hmm. Those are really bad things. We can't allow that in the church. But then when you throw a reviler in both of these, meaning just people who spew garbage, you know, say bad things angrily, you know, it's like, wow, would we ever even address that?
Yeah.
Or would we just say, they're human.
So guys, Gary again.
Oh, Gary. Gary's in a lot of trouble.
He's speaking too much bad stuff, so he won't be at church tomorrow. It's like, what? You know? what? Everybody else would be like, oh. They don't know what I said yesterday, do they?
The thing, they don't come to work every week with me.
All right. You guys got to keep this on the DL.
That's right,
what we were saying. Yeah, I mean, that would probably scare everybody.
Yeah, it would. Happen. Yeah, I think it's why it's not addressed, because it would be like, well, like, who's going to show up to church on Sunday? Everybody's...
Let's pick a sin that's more rare, okay, guys?
Yeah, that's right.
So...
Let's go after let's go after the thieves. Yeah. You know,
thieves. Nobody likes them.
Yeah, no, you can't steal stuff.
Who still worships an idol here?
Yeah, you guys gotta leave. You idol worshiper the thieves.
One. That's the one we'll get. Anybody still have a statue in their house?
Yeah. None of you guys are too greedy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys gave your tithe this week. We trust you.
That's right. So picking all, you know, treating all these the same is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
You know, to do.
It is.
And that's a whole topic in itself. Like, you know, all the scripture that refers to, like, not associating with Christians who you know,
yeah,
do yeah. are habitually doing things that is not of Christ. You know, it's like,
yeah, it's like, yeah. I've always struggled with that because there's kind of, it's not 100% clear. It's kind of like the idea, like, can you go to a bar mm-hmm. and drink with a, you know, drink mm-hmm. a, you know, it's that, can I drink a beer with a bunch of alcoholics?
Yeah.
You know, should you participate in those kind of things?
It's a recreational beverage.
That's right. You know, like, there's always those kind of, like, those gray areas of, like, should we participate with other Christians who are mm-hmm. in sin? Because then someone will say, well, aren't we all in sin?
Yeah.
We all fall mm-hmm. short from the glory of yeah. God. Yeah. You know, like, all sins are equal, you know, so.
The one verse everybody knows.
That's right. Yeah, so they start throwing those out, so.
It's then, interesting you know only that one,
yeah,
Gary.
So that, yeah, Gary.
Whoever's Gary that's yes. listening to Poor this Gary. Has stopped listening at this point.
Yeah, yes. But, yeah, we that's what always comes out of it. Yeah. It's kind of like, well, we can't judge.
That's right.
You know, we all have a plank in our own eyes.
Yep.
And so we just never get down to, you would never actually do this, where you would say, all right, you can't be in the church this week. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason this was done, it wasn't to... It was Paul doing two things. He was protecting the flock, but also I think there's something to helping somebody who continues in sin
mm-hmm.
to allow them to separate
yeah.
from the group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe that time will be good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they yeah. need that separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hopefully...
And apparently it did. It yeah. was good. The one, you know, in Corinthians here, because in 2 Corinthians he's like, okay, take this guy back, you know.
Yeah.
Because
he repented changed. And he yeah. stopped. Yeah, mm-hmm. he changed. And that's what yeah. that's what you'd hope for. So maybe it would be bad ultimately to hold on to an individual who's struggling with these things and allowing them to be part of the group, allowing them to be part of the church, because maybe we're lying, you know, we're pretty much lying to this individual. Like,
yeah.
Or they're lying to themselves, thinking mm-hmm. they're part of this when they really need to repent and turn away from some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yep. Yep. So I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 now. And it's going to talk more about reviling. This seems to be like the popular word, at least in my translation.
Yeah. This is the... NASB translation likes the word revile, right? Yeah. NASB?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think mine's the ESV.
Oh, is
I
it?
I think for this. But okay. It's probably the same, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know what the more modern translations use yeah. for the word revile.
Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling.
Mm.
But on the contrary, bless... For to this you were called, this is your calling, to be someone who's blessing, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So, when people are doing evil to us, when people are speaking evil to us, the command for the Christian is not to ever say something mean back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the contrary, you are to bless to those who are speaking evil to you, right?
Yeah.
And these are the people who are of God, right?
Yep.
They follow this path. We keep our lips from speaking deceit, right? We keep our tongue from doing evil. This is, you know, a marker of what it is to be a follower of Christ, is this control over your mouth
yep.
that isn't seen among, you know, non-Christians. And are we doing that, you know?
No.
Or are we just responding with evil for evil?
No, when someone speaks evil against me, my yeah. pride kicks in.
Yeah.
And I'm hurt. So in my hurt mm-hmm. feelings, I'm going to speak evil back. No, I'm not going to speak it right to their face, but mm-hmm. I'm probably going to go complaining to my wife or some. Like I said, go to a brother or sister. And we all complain together for the evil that was spoken against us.
Yeah.
We're doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
we're just doing it in our own little circle.
Yeah.
And we think that's okay because maybe we needed help. You know, it's almost like we need the support of other Christians because somebody hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, in a way, it's like that's really what the answer should be is like, so what? Who cares? Like, someone says something mean to you? Yeah. Oh, no. Like, get over it. Yep. Like, really, we need to get over it.
Yeah.
We're not called to be pansies. You know, we're called to, what it's saying here is you need to fire back with blessings. You know, like, that's what you have to fire back with is blessing.
Yep. Because they did the same thing to Christ. Yeah. You know, they said all kinds of terrible things.
I mean, these are world changing ideas that the church has done at some points. And this is like, this is what true love is when someone's hurting you, you come back in love versus coming back with like this hatred idea or this, you know, the world would say, you know, if someone punches you, you punch them back.
Yeah.
What this is saying is someone punches you, you hug them back.
Yeah.
As crazy as it is.
Yeah.
Is what it's saying.
And yeah, that definitely stops the world, you know, in their tracks when they're like, what?
Yep. Yeah. This is probably very foolishness to the world.
Oh, yeah.
If they heard this idea. They think it's crazy.
All right. So James chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger.
That's right. You know what's cool is we have this editing power. We don't talk about this. Sometimes we record something and then we cut it out because we're like, we better not go there.
Yep. I learned something new today.
Yeah, okay. So I was messing around and I wrote like, this is MAGA country in here. And Nathan had no idea what that meant.
Mm-mm.
And I was just saying it as in like, we're kind of at that place in politics where everybody is so quick to speak.
Oh, yeah.
They're very slow to listen.
Yep. Twitter it.
Oh, yeah. And they're very quick to anger. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what that's what Twitter's all about, Facebook.
Yeah.
And I think of when you're reading those tweets and then the defense, you know, someone just writes, this is MAGA country, you know, and people get so triggered over that.
Yeah.
Because that's just like the worst thing to say. Well, Nathan had no idea what MAGA meant.
Nope.
See, this is good. This means he's not intertwined with all this political garbage that we hear every day. And of course that means make America great again. You know, this on the red hats and stuff. You guys all know what that means, I think. So anyway, it kind of it was just a small little thing because we type in our notes and I think we kind of put little jokes sometimes in our notes that we aren't planning on saying, but that's the power of editing. We can cut anything we want out, and we do, especially when I stumble in my words. I stop it and I cut it out. Anyway, back to the verse.
Yeah, I like all these parts right here. I mean, they are so true. Like, You need to be quick to be listening.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually like the first thing that does go wrong.
Yeah.
You didn't listen, right? You're not there to listen to what the other side has to say. You're completely tuned out, only thinking of what you're ready to shoot out of your mouth.
Yep.
Right? So you're definitely not going to the next one slow to speak. You're quick to speak.
Yeah.
You're slow to listen, you know, but you are quick to speak. And then, you know, anger goes along with all these so well.
Yep.
Anger's running the show, and you are going to speak very quickly. And especially in today's, like, technology and stuff, this helps, you know, fuel even more this problem of we're going to speak so fast.
Yeah.
We're going to say so many things we regret. And technology is going to help us achieve this even better, you know. Everything's designed for speed and quickness and ease to voice whatever thoughts you have.
Yeah.
And you get to do it from behind, you know, a screen far, far away from whoever you're saying it to.
Yeah.
You know, and it just helps allow this to become even more of a problem.
Yeah.
And I feel like so much of what's online and stuff, when anybody's like disagreeing, it's just like spewing.
Yeah. Well, Neil, he's the youth pastor here at the church, one of the churches we attend, he kind of shared a story on this because he he once was just posting to like a cousin or something. He was responding back on Facebook. Well, the next Sunday, he's at church and somebody comes up to him and starts bringing up this random topic to him. And he's like, what is going on? He didn't realize when he posted to this individual that other people saw what he was posting. So this person wanted to come and address what Neil was saying. And Neil's thinking, dude, that was to my, like, you know, that was to this person, not you. And that's the problem with social media. Like, you can't, when you post something, the whole world has access to that post. So you got to be really careful what you're doing and how you act because, you know, you're putting your Christian self out there. Is that what you want it to be? Like what you posted in that comment? Did you post in anger? Were you quick to say those things? I mean, that's truthfully, I don't post very much because of this. Because I want to be really careful what I say online.
We really should be slower.
You know, a lot slower on what we're going to
nowadays.
What we're going to post.
Because, you know, it is such a big deal what you're putting out there. You know, to so many people.
And especially, I mean, you see what people put and like, or if you look back at something you posted like a year ago and you're just like, geez,
I was an
idiot a year ago, you know, like just something we thought or believed 6 months ago, we could think differently with now. So we better be really careful. And it's kind of like the fight against, like, I always say, like, be careful about your opinions. Like, is that even rooted in any scriptural fact? Or are you just throwing out opinions of how you feel about something? Because those opinions are going to change. Now, if you're throwing out the word of God or, like, your thoughts on scripture, it's probably a safer bet. But even then, you got to be careful because what biases are in those thoughts? So it's a really tough game, especially with social media. I would say avoid it like the plague, especially posting on it. I guess if you wanted to share cute pictures of your kids and your cats and stuff, go for it. But to...
Cat videos.
I love cat videos. But when you're doing it in the fashion to, like, I don't know, to just spew out your thoughts and ideas. That's probably not the best idea for most people. Anyway.
So we're going to continue to be in James and go to chapter 3, and there's a really good passage on using your mouth. So James chapter 3, verse 5 says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. A world of unrighteousness." A whole world of unrighteousness. "The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the very likeness of God. For the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water."
Hey, James, tell us how you really feel. Like, what a rebuke of the church. I mean, obviously, he's saying this for a reason. There's a huge problem. And this is a very well thought out, like, view of the tongue.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, this
really
is like
visuals.
You
and
could
stuff.
Show up to poetry night and really, like, slam it out with this, like, this, these verses right here, because these are what a cool, like, almost like metaphor of the tongue.
Yeah, you know, the wildfire that the small little tongue, you know, makes. And that is so true. Your words can have such a huge impact, you know, way beyond what you thought it was going to do,
mm-hmm.
right? You might have thought, oh, it'll take care of this one little thing, or it felt good right in that moment.
Yeah.
But then you don't realize, like, you've created a domino effect that's going to keep trailing out.
Yeah.
And then you realize how much trouble, you know, you've started just by not controlling your tongue, you know? And just the hugeness of what James is writing here about what the tongue can do, you know, you know, setting on fire the entire course of life.
Yeah.
Like ruining your life, you know, because of how you use your tongue. It's a world of unrighteousness. Like, those are big words.
Restless, you know? Evil, full of deadly poison.
Yeah.
And then it says, this is the one that hit me, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing.
So true.
Yes, it is.
And we just don't think of that contradiction.
No.
You know? Are we being holy with our language, with our mouth, you know?
Right.
We're supposed to be these set-apart people, you know, unto God. And how can, you know, the set-apart mouth be both speaking and spewing evil and, you know, defiling, you know, everything else, but then supposed to be set apart.
Yeah, and this isn't per se saying curse words.
No.
Because that's very subjective mm-hmm. to, like, your language, like mm-hmm. English and mm-hmm. your culture. So it's referring to cursing as in, I think, speaking poorly or speaking, like, mm-hmm. Unrighteous type things. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be any type of words.
Yeah, it's not just saying just curse words. Yeah. You know, as long as you avoid the curse word, you're right. good. No, yeah. Definitely, you know, and how we've been talking, like reviling one another, speaking terribly of each other and stuff like that. And yeah, how if you're supposed to be this, you know, spring of fresh water, how can you also give out salt at the same time? Like, James is trying to lay out, like, for a Christian, this isn't supposed to be something that happens, right? Yeah. If you're really a follower of God, how is this both happening?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what he's laying out there. How, if you're a fig tree, how are you making olives?
Right.
Right? These are things that are not possible.
Yep.
You know, these are things that can't happen. And, you know, do we take how we use our tongue that serious? Like, this is just not something that can happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, this is something that's very common. And how is that? You know, do we really take this that serious, how we're using our mouth? Or is it just something we just don't really think about and don't think it's a big deal?
Yeah.
You know, but apparently to God it's a huge deal.
Yeah, I don't think we take it serious enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great passage
mm-hmm.
in James right there.
Yep.
I mean, really, really good one. Going into the Gospels here, and going to hear a little bit what Jesus is saying about what comes out of our mouth. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 is where we're going to go to. And Jesus is saying, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Again, kind of going back to the olive and grape thing. It's either one or the other.
Yep.
It's not both. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Hmm.
Pretty serious.
Yeah.
You know, apparently God really doesn't like careless bad words, you know, that we're speaking.
Right.
And he says this is a reflection of the heart, right?
Yep.
He's like, out of your overflow is what you speak, you know?
Yeah.
And what are we, what when we're using these foul words, this foul language, what does that say about our heart? You know, what does that say about the inside person that is us, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. I mean, yeah. Do we really want to give an account for every careless word that we said? I mean, that's a lot of careless words.
So does that mean we're going to have to give an account for every careless word?
On the day of judgment.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's...
So we really need to work on it now, because at least then we aren't going to have to account for so much words.
Yeah, that's a pretty frightening thought.
Yeah, it is. You know, yep.
To be thinking about that.
And I keep thinking... my mind wandered, and... We're thinking of like good fruit and bad fruit, and I started thinking of like, what's good fruit? I'm like, I like watermelons, and
then Mikey,
and I like apples, and then I'm like, you know what's a bad fruit because it's really not very fruity is tomatoes. No.
Actually,
I totally
tomatoes
got lost
are a
there.
Great fruit.
No, they're really good, but they're not very fruity, you know. And they used to be though; they used to be pretty sweet, but yeah. They've really.
I can't wait till. Summer.
Yeah,
because
you like the high, the true tomatoes. The, what are those called?
The
heirloom
ones. Tomatoes.
Yeah, those are actually more sweet.
Yeah.
So you can see what they taste more fruity.
Tomatoes.
Yeah, because they're like juicy inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dude, sorry, my mind is wandering there.
They are. Amazing.
And I started thinking of different fruits and.
And so what's the good fruit that's coming out of us, right?
Yeah.
He's like, either you're a bad tree or you're a good tree.
Yeah. It's kind of a scary thought because
it's very scary.
You have to ask yourself, like, am I producing something better than I used to? Like, am I really living a better life? Am I saying better things? Am I being Christ-like or am I not? And I know some people are like, that's legalism. It's like, well, no, it's obeying God, you know, obeying commandments. That's what we keep talking about here. That's not legalism to say we're supposed to have some type of result in our lives or be different. We're supposed to be new people.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that look like? Well, it should be bearing a better fruit than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then you got to be a little worried. It's kind of like the things we're saying we're going to be accounted for in judgment. Well, well, what does that mean to you? Does that concern you at all that there's going to be a judgment day where we're all going to stand before God? I think that's another one of those, I would say, things that aren't said when we're saved. You're going to stand before God one day and be judged for everything you've done and said.
Yeah.
I think it's people want to dismiss that idea and not tell you that part. They just want to say, here's your free ticket. Welcome to heaven.
Yeah, welcome to heaven. And he's talking to the Pharisees here in the passage. And, you know, he's asking them, how can you guys speak what is good when you are evil?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, to hear that from Jesus,
that would hurt.
Like, that would be the worst. Stop saying good things. You're evil.
That's when you get in the corner and get in that fetal position and start crying because that hurts. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, there is some serious, you know, long-term things to be thinking about, you know, and how we're using our words.
Yep.
I mean, the huge gravity to what comes out of our mouth. You know, are we really thinking about every word that's coming out? Is this something we want to give an account for?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think if we really thought this way, if we really believed this, we would probably speak a little different.
I think so.
You know, if you really thought this was true.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to ask ourselves, you know, as we're going through...
Mm-hmm.
Through our lives, encountering different situations, you know, what is something of a blessing I could say to this, right? How could I respond with good to this evil situation?
Are you building people up?
Mm-hmm. Are you building people up?
Kind of goes with the word we talked about being peaceful, like the peacemaker.
Yep.
Is are you someone who builds someone up? Are you someone to bring someone to completion?
Yep.
Like that's part of the words we're using to help others.
Yep.
Instead of tearing them down.
Yeah. How are you bringing restoration to this situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it kind of comes all together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks for listening. There are hundreds and thousands of podcasts out there, but you've chosen to listen to ours.
If you have any questions, concerns, or ideas regarding our podcast, please email us at biblicallogic@gmail.com. That's biblicallogic@gmail.com.
But that's not right.
It's not right.
It's biblicallogic. Biblicallogic.
One L. Say it again. One L.
One L.
They share the L.
Biblicallogic. They're sharing. Okay?
Because we thought it...
Because we screwed up. No.
Well, no, it's me. Well, it's entirely me.
That's all right. Good thing somebody pointed this out. Someone finds, like, do you realize that email's wrong? And it's like...
And I can't believe in reading this.
I wonder
why
nobody ever emailed us.
Yeah.
We just thought nobody ever emailed us. But then we realized it is biblical logic with a shared L in the middle.
Yeah.
And at Gmail. Please email us. If you already have emails, find that email in your sent box and send it to biblicallogic, please. And because we would like to hear from you, and you know, you can always give us ideas or tell us how much you don't like our podcast, whatever you want to say. I don't care. We don't care. But we appreciate.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
We do.
Yeah. So, you know, don't forget to share the podcast with somebody you know.
Yeah. Share
leave
with
a
friends,
review on iTunes
family,
or wherever you listen. And keep fighting the good fight of faith, and thanks for listening to the Third Option Podcast.